The next fundamental that we shall consider is God and man is one inseparable being. Surely we, as Christian Scientists, cannot afford to be hazy in our thought when it comes to the meaning of God or the Supreme Being, and neither can we afford to be hazy in our thought concerning our relation to God or the Supreme Being. What is God to you, this very instant? Is he impersonal, unalterable truth? Is he the very substance and essence of your existence? Where is God to you, this very instant? Is he the very ever-presence that you are witnessing and identifying? What is your conscious relation to God this very instant? Is your relation to him one of likeness and oneness and sameness? Just to say that God is a supreme being, or that God is incorporeal, divine, infinite mind, may not be of much value to us. And to say that man is God's image and likeness may not be of much value to us. Definitions of God and man are of practical value to us only as their true meanings reach our human consciousness in a concrete, tangible form that we can understand in our present stage of growth. Let us take our leader's definition of the nature and character of God as given in Unity of Good. She says, quote, God is all in all. Hence, he is in himself only, in his own nature and character, and is perfect being or consciousness. He is all the life and mind there is or can be. Within himself is every embodiment of life and mind. If he is all, he can have no consciousness of anything unlike himself, because if he is omnipresent, there can be nothing outside of himself. Close quote. The presentation of God defines God numerically as one being, one entity, one self-existing self. He is one infinite self-conscious being, whole and all. There is nothing beside him, or outside of him, or unlike him. He is all-inclusive. He exists as all in all. There is nothing apart from or other than the Supreme Being that is disconnected or dissociated or detached from him. Our God is one indivisible, inseparable being, a unity of all in one. The adorable one. The infinite elements, qualities, and attributes that constitute this adorable one are not produced in and of this one, but they are his immanence, his isness, his subjectiveness. This one infinite unity of elements, qualities, and attributes is indivisible and inseparable, is vital, conscious, omni-action that unfolds forever as one whole. God, this one infinite being, is aware of himself only, is aware of himself as all intelligence, as all consciousness, as all substance, is aware of himself as conscious life, living itself as all things. He says, quote, "I am all. A knowledge of aught beside myself is impossible." Close quote. Unity of good. God is infinite conscious life, wherein there is no sense of finiteness or limits, no sense of restriction or of being circumscribed. God, or the infinite being, is a consciously universal, boundless, free being, in whom there is no opposite of himself to oppose him. It is impossible for evil, sin, sickness, or death to come into this being that is all. Does not God or conscious life fill all space? Is not this place a place that he possesses? Does he not penetrate, permeate, and pervade all space this very instant? In the scriptures it is asked, quote, "Do not I fill heaven and earth?" Close quote. There is none else. God, conscious life, is everywhere disclosing or revealing himself to himself as all existence. How great a God is our God! These revealing truths that are found in our leader's writings are not just words or beautiful theories. They are true and vital presentations of the living God. And we, as Christian Scientists, are to make these presentations of the living God, or unalterable truths, practical in our daily thinking and living. And what is our relation to God, or the Supreme Being, at this instant and throughout all eternity? You will say, with one accord, that our relation to God, or conscious life, is oneness. We are consciously identifying him each and every instant of our existence. We are his image and likeness. We are the unity of good that God is being. In Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy tells us, quote, "The scientific unity which exists between God and man must be wrought out in life practice, and God's will must be universally done." Close quote. There are four terms used in Mrs. Eddy's writings that, when correctly understood, give us a clear conception of the, quote, "scientific unity which exists between God and man." Close quote. These four words are idea, understanding, awareness, and realization. If we write these words on our memory and practice them in their true character, we shall find that the scientific unity and oneness which exists between God and man is a conscious, perpetual experience. Let us consider the word idea. God's idea of himself is man. We do not mean that man is an idea that has an idea of God, or has an idea of his own about something. Man is idea itself, God's idea of himself. We always keep man as effect. He is never cause. Man is never separate from God. He can do nothing in and of himself. Man, in his scientific unity and oneness with God, does all that God does by reflection and is governed only by God. Likewise, man is the understanding of God. Man is not someone apart from God who understands something, but man, by reflection, is the understanding itself. God's understanding of his own infinite all. Man does not have understanding. He is the understanding that God is being or expressing. Man is also the awareness of God. Man is not someone apart from God who is aware of something. But man, by reflection, or by the showing forth of God, is awareness itself. Man is God's awareness of his own infinite selfhood. Think of what God's awareness of himself must be, and then think, man is that. Man is the realization of God. Man is not someone apart from God who, in and of himself, realizes something. Man, by reflection or evidence, is realization itself. God's realization of himself. When we admit that man is the realization that God is being, it forever excludes the suggestion that man has to achieve realization. If mortal mind suggests that, because of insufficient realization, we cannot rise to the reality of some particular experience, we can annul this suggestion with the fundamental truth that man, by reflection, is already God's realization of infinite good. God's realization is man's realization and is sufficient for everything. It is not our inability to realize sufficient truth that hinders our demonstration. It is our belief in our inability to rise to sufficient realization that thwarts us. God is the great, able to do all things, and man in God's image and likeness is conscious ability eternally. When the belief confronts us that we cannot rise spiritually to some needed realization, we can annul this suggestion with the understanding that, at this very instant, we are God's realization and our sufficiency is in him. At our stage of growth in Christian Science, we should cease thinking of ourselves as a person and see ourselves as the active, conscious experience that God is being. We should understand ourselves as the conscious idea, the conscious understanding, the conscious awareness, and the constant realization that God is actively being. Man is eternally in unity and oneness with God. In Miscellany, we find this statement by Mrs. Eddy, quote, "Unless you fully perceive that you are the child of God, hence perfect, you have no principle to demonstrate and no rule for its demonstration." Close quote. Let us not remain in the second degree of scientific translation, the resurrection period, but let us take our position in the third degree, the ascension period, wherein we understand God and man as one inseparable being.